We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
3:27, time brought to you by Weather Seal Home Services. Penguins Sabres tomorrow at the arena. And then a bunch of road games for the Penguins. Matinee in Washington Sunday. We're going to talk to Eddie Olczyk, who will call that game for NBC in a minute. And then out west, Chris, L.A., Anaheim, San Jose. If you could go to one of those three games, which one would Chris Mueller pick?
L.A., because it's in L.A.
What's Anaheim? Trash?
Orange County. Just kind of, it's like endless suburbs. San Jose's tempting because you're close enough to good wine country where you can have kind of a sideways sort
of trip. See, you don't strike me as a wine guy.
Oh, when Alex and I went out to California for a dual week-apart wedding session, we loved Paso Robles, which is like the more SoCal wine country. Absolutely loved it. Man, when you're drinking great wine, they really roll out the old red carpet for the experience. I love my craft beer, but great wine is just as good.
Isn't San Diego big beer country?
Probably the craft beer, like, true birthplace or capital of the country. So I had it at both ends of the spectrum in that little trip 5 years ago.
Amanda went to the Blue Jackets and Flyers game last night.
Yeah.
Baseball is her favorite sport, and then I would say college football after that.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw on Facebook, that's where she gets like all of her news.
Well, that's a good reliable source.
She saw the way Penguins fans walk up the steps of that, like, what is that building right there across the street from the arena there?
You're talking about the Capitals, I thought.
And the way Penguins fans troll the Capitals fans,
yeah.
She wants to go do that.
Ugh.
I know.
I'm going to give that a hearty thumbs down. Sorry, Amanda.
Eddie Olczyk, NHL on NBC, Penguins and Capitals Sunday. He's our guest right now. I go to Edzo for a bunch of things, horse racing expertise, good bets on a variety of things. We both had the Titans to win the Super Bowl. That went belly up in the conference championship round, unfortunately. And, of course, hockey. The Penguins and Capitals Sunday. Edzo, how are you, buddy?
That's all I got for you, Pony. That's all I got for you, man. I got pucks and ponies right now. No pigskin here. So,
okay.
How are you?
You're not betting the XFL?
Oh.
No, absolutely not.
I got five letters for you, Edzo. UNDER for the XFL. That's all you need to know.
All right, I'll have to spread the word on that one, Pony. How are you? Chris, nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Give us the state of the Penguins' address here. As they head into the trade deadline, 3 o'clock on Monday, where are the strengths and weaknesses of this team as you see them, Edzo?
Well, look, you got to start behind the bench. I think Mike has done, obviously, an amazing job. He is definitely, I'd be shocked if he's not a finalist for Coach of the Year. And, you know, look, I would make the argument that he is. I think sometimes when we look at that award, rightfully or wrongfully, whatever side of the fence you want to be on there, is you look at coaches that get their teams to overachieve or maybe aren't, you know, are where they – and where they are in the standings, maybe a lot of people thought that they would be, a lot further down the totem pole, or teams that aren't expected to, you know, have good seasons. But look, I mean, you expected the Penguins to have a really good season, but when you look at the body of work and you go, how in the hell do they have what they have and where they are, and, you know, looking to be the top team in the Eastern Conference and obviously win their division. So, you got to start there, and then obviously the leadership of Sid, and Mr. Rutherford's gone out and been aggressive, and, you know, you bring in a top six guy, and Jason Zucker, and you know, the goaltending seems, I mean, you guys watched every minute. I don't watch every minute, but it seems like the goaltending has stabilized here in the last little while.
Yep.
And if you get that, you got a shot. And look, not knowing the cap space, you know, could you use some help on defense? Yeah, I think you can always use a little bit more on the back end. There's no doubt about it. But easier said than done. Would you be surprised if he stands pat? Yeah, I'd probably be a little bit surprised. Maybe a tweak here or there. But look at they've done everything you wanted to be at this point in the season. And it hasn't been easy. I don't think you draw it up this way and go, oh, yeah, let's miss it for 27 and Malkin for this and Schultz for this and, you know, go on and on and on. But I think they're in a good spot. And now they just need a little luck to stay healthy and give themselves a legitimate chance. And like I said, it starts with the guy behind the bench. And we'll see what happens. Looking forward to that game Sunday in D.C.
And so what is it about Sullivan's personality, in your opinion, that allows for him to coach and not have the message get stale at all and have mm-hmm. the guys continually respond to him? Because we see across the NHL, I think there have been eight coaches fired already. What makes Sullivan different?
Yeah, you know what, Chris, and I think it's interesting. And if I'm not mistaken, look, I can't remember what the hell happened yesterday, let alone what's happened in the last year and a half of regular season hockey in the National Hockey League. I think there's been 19 coaches hired since the start of last season, which, like, you really think about it and go, what the hell is going on, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, it just, I get it. I understand. I lived it in the Berg. I understand it. But getting to Mike, I just think the consistency, I do believe he's a player's coach. I do. I mean, he is, you know, I don't think there's any fluff just talking from guys that either that are there or guys that have left and had played for Sully, or even guys that played for him, you know, when he was in Boston. And, you know, look, I think that time, you know, getting that opportunity in Boston and then, you know, being on the wing of Torts, John Tortorella, and I thought, again, as another guy, you got to think about his coach of the year with what the hell has happened in there and forget what happened with the injuries this year, but all the players he lost from last year to this year, that's for another day. But I think, you know, being that assistant coach for a long period of time and then he got the opportunity to come to the Berg and, you know, and the rest is history. So I think just the consistency, I think players know where they stand and the expectations doesn't matter, you know, whether you're Sid or, you know, you're Teddy Bluger, right? Like he just is able to push the right button night in and night out. And, you know, he has such an incredible pulse of his team. And that's the one thing that I respect. And like, I get the opportunity to talk to him before games and, you know, and just, you know, kind of shoot the guff a little bit and I mean, the one thing I appreciate, I mean, he's straightforward. Like, you know, there's no fluff there. He'll tell you, look, you know, we need more from this or, you know, I don't like this. So I just think that his players feel that. And look, the expectations, and I go even higher than Mr. Rutherford. I mean, look, it starts with the character and the leadership and the ownership, obviously with Mario and Mr. Burkle and all the way down. Like I really believe that. And I've been around a long time in this league as a player, coach, broadcaster, and whatever. It does start at the top and those people allow the people below them to do their job. And, you know, there's accountability, but you know, you allow your people to do your job and it's a comfortable working environment, I think, up and down the organization. That's the credit to Mario and his staff, and it goes all the way down to the ice. And players are comfortable. They enjoy playing for the coach, and obviously it's a great place to play. And, you know, they should be feeling pretty confident here in the last, whatever, quarter of the season.
Eddie Olczyk, the NHL and NBC, our guest here. I'm going to try to put one in your wheelhouse, Edzo. I'm going to try to throw you a lob here and see if you can finish it for us. I don't know a lot about this guy, but I've had people over from the Penguins end of things float this name out there, and I'm like, I don't know much about him, but you can hopefully enlighten us. Tell us about this Blackhawks defenseman that's on the trade block, Erik Gustafsson. He's a left shot, which the Penguins kind of need because of the Dumoulin injury. Is he a depth player that you think could fit? You know, Rutherford's made those trades, Mark Streit, Ron Hainsey at deadlines past.
Sure.
Is he a guy that fits that kind of description, Edzo?
Well, he certainly slides into the way the Penguins want to play. Tape-to-tape passes out of their zone, a defenseman that can join the rush and be in that second and third wave when players pull up or becoming an option on the rush. Not a great defender. Let's make that perfectly clear. Not. But he certainly has a strength. He can, you know, he can run a power play. He had, if I'm not, again, off the top of my head, I think he had 60 plus points last year. Mm. This year got off to a tough start. I don't think he knew what his role was, talking to him, you know, what type of player he is, but he can really skate. He can make exits out of the zone. You know, you bring up his name. He's an unrestricted free agent this year. So be interesting to see. I know there have been teams that, you know, have certainly tried to gauge some interest, you know, throughout the league on him. But, you know, he certainly fits the mold of a Penguin, without a doubt.
Just 17 goals last year, Edzo. Holy cow.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, this year he struggled. He's had a tough year. He really has. But, again, is it the contract pony? Is it... you know, not understanding the system, is it, you know, just all those things. I mean, mm-hmm. everything plays into it. And it's, you know, some players can handle, you know, being an unrestricted free agent better than others. But look, he's an NHL defenseman without question. If you're asking me, would I want him on my team? Yes, I would. But I know that he's a third pair guy. I know he would run my power play. I know he would play in, you know, in 4-on-4 situations. He would play when we're down in a game. He would play in overtime. If you can accept the blemishes and know that, you know, he's going to turn a pizza, you know, he's going to deliver a pizza every once in a while right in the slot, or he's not going to be able to check somebody, well, okay, there's no perfect player. And there are very few perfect players that have ever played in the game. But he's, you know, he's an NHL defenseman and he can skate. And I think when you have a defenseman that can skate you out of trouble in your own zone, that's something that I think a lot of teams are looking for in the National Hockey League. And again, I don't know if he's having any contract talks with the Blackhawks or not. But he is an unrestricted free agent and be a hell of a pickup for somebody, in my opinion. Whether he's the seventh defenseman and can come in and run a power play or be that sixth defenseman in a particular game, in a particular series, I think he'd be a benefit for anybody.
Edzo, tomorrow, 40 years, Miracle on Ice anniversary. Any memories of how you consumed that game and just the vibe, if you do remember it?
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was a young kid. Young hockey player growing up in the suburbs of Chicago and watching this incredible couple of weeks at Lake Placid and wondering, man, oh, man, would it be great to be a part of Team USA at some point in my life to play on the Olympic team? And, again, I was 13 years of age when this was going on. And I'm like, wow, how great would this be? And I'm thinking, you know, maybe 88, maybe, you know, 92. Well, 3 short years later, I got an invitation as a 16-year-old kid to the tryout for the 1984 U.S. Olympic hockey team and made the team in the summer of 83 as a 16-year-old in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and played in the Olympics 4 years later. And talking about pressure, you know, trying to follow in the footsteps of that team is not, you know, it wasn't easy, but it was it helped prepare me for the greatest league in the world, the National Hockey League, and becoming a pro and had to grow up very quickly. So that team, that accomplishment, without question, put American-born hockey players on the map in the minds of the people that ran the National Hockey League. Because prior to that, very few NHL players were playing. And, you know, I don't want to say, being disrespected, but the opportunity wasn't there, really. And all of a sudden, these college kids did what they did. That opened up the door for guys like myself. And we owe them a great deal of gratitude for what they were able to accomplish. And now, I mean, look, the NHL is I'm not going to say dominated by the red, white, and blue, but certainly the numbers go, you know, how did it become like this? And to me, I don't think anybody can stand there and say it isn't a direct result of what happened in Lake Placid 40 years ago. And I was a proud young kid growing up as a hockey player and watching them accomplish that. And then I got that great honor to try to follow in those footsteps of in 1984. Now, unfortunately for us, we finished in seventh place that year. Yes, I can hear the crickets in the background. But,
well, I'm looking at the tournament. I see Tom Kunackel's old man in Germany had like a million points in that tournament.
Yeah, okay, I know I'm old, Pony. Okay, I mean we know I'm old. We know. Yeah, okay.
I was trying to be delicate about it, and here comes Pony like a sledgehammer with no subtlety.
All of a sudden you're going to be delicate on a Friday. Okay, so what I was going to say was is that.
you know, we finished in seventh place. But as I tell people when I get the opportunity to do some banquets or functions or whatever, I say, look, do you know there's like over officially 255 countries in this world? That's pretty damn good to finish seventh out of 255. Now, between us, 240 did not come to the Winter Olympics in 1984. Mm. So, you know, hey, you know, you gotta run with it every once in a while, Pony, right?
Yeah. And I can't wait to watch you Sunday with Doc, right? And I think he's going to do the game in D.C.
Yeah, Doc and Bush. Oh, you know what? I know Bush is going to be there. I'm not sure if Doc's working the game on Sunday or not.
Well, Doc's probably headed down to Bradenton to take in the Pirates for a spring training game.
He's
so he's got Bucko fever.
He's taking ground balls on Sunday morning, I think.
They might need him. This team could use him at third, possibly.
Look at any time I want to get Doc going, I just say, like, do you think the Pirates are going to win? Are they going to lose less than 100? Like, that's – and then forget it. Like, you just get all fired up. Like, then he's just absolutely off the rails. But I don't do that to my partner very often. But every once in a while, I want to – you know about poking the bear? Yeah, this is like poking the, you know, the rhino here. Yeah, he's not afraid to tell us what he thinks.
Hey, Ed, so if you find a winner, don't be shy. Pass it along to us, all right? We got legalized sports betting here now.
All right. I will think about that, Pony. Chris, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You
guys.
Bet. There you go.
Hey,
Eddie Olczyk, the NHL on NBC. The 1984 Olympics. Chris Chelios was on that team, then went on to
play.
He
was already like 33 then, wasn't he?
And then went on to play about 47 years in the NHL.
That was the best seventh-place team in Olympic history.
The Soviets won the gold medal. There's a surprise. Silver, the Czechs, with... looks like Herdina was the leading scorer for them. Yuri Herdina. Any memories of him stand out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Penguins had to go out and get him because Jágr couldn't speak a lick of English, and they needed somebody to translate, and Herdina shows up, and Jágr goes on a tear.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.